take the pure, clear freshness of a mountain morning, the fragrance of a thousand blooms, the natural goodness of wheat and barley. Put them all together and let time work its miracle. And you get a field.
We present Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilson. Music by Peter Brewis.
Good evening and welcome to the South Bank Show. With me tonight is a man who perpetrated the greatest hoax the art world has ever seen. He produced over 150 copies of Old Masters, which were so authentic they fooled art experts the world over. Bruce Thorpe, how did you manage to reproduce these magnificent paintings so accurately?
I photocopied them.
Now, this one, Rubens, The Mystic Marriage of St. Yeah. Catherine. Mm. Is this the original, or is it one of your photocopies?
That is, in fact, one of my photocopies. There.
Are there any telltale signs, any little errors the art experts should have spotted?
Well, the original was not black and white. Rubens never painted on A4.
One can understand... can understand how the experts were duped.
Yeah.
What about the frame? Is that hand-carved?
No, I got it from Woolies. Winfield, see? On the front there? Yeah. I don't know where Rubens got his frames for. I looked all over.
Now, your critics make the accusation that although you pulled it off, the hoax wasn't executed with particularly great care.
I think what they're referring to here is my photocopy of the Bayeux Tapestry, Mel. See, I've got to say, it wasn't easy getting the bugger in the machine. There's 127 sheets. I did get a bit tired stapling them together. You're talking problems here.
With great respect, it's not just that. Key scenes are missing. It's been collated in the wrong order. Right. Some pages are completely black.
Yeah.
And towards the end, with respect, the entire tapestry is printed on green paper.
Yeah, well, as I say, no. I mean, it was out of a session. I mean, to be fair, it's not done with the same fanatical care as, say, my La Gioconda.
The foolscap piece.
Yeah, that's the one.
For the time being, Bruce Thorpe, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome this week's guest host, Mr. Freddie Fortune, clairvoyant comic.
Thank you. Thank
you. I knew you were going to do that. Clairvoyant me. Now, I must just explain, if you don't know me, I tell jokes that aren't funny now. But in 6 months' time, they'll be hysterical. Now, and this particular show, you see, is recorded a couple of months before it goes out. They've drafted me in to do some topical jokes. No. They won't be funny tonight, but very funny when it gets transmitted. All right. Right, so here we go. Here's something that really annoys me. That man. You know who I mean. He's everywhere, isn't he? He is. Hey. Flop, diflop, 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 diflop. It makes you sick, doesn't it? It does. You can't turn the telly on without flop, diflop, 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 diflop. 6 months ago, we never heard of him. It's true, isn't it? It's true. Can't they find a better newsreader than him? I... Bring back breakfast television, that's what I say. No. But, what about this Zongles craze, eh? The laughter's good, but, look, sorry, when I say Zongles, do you think you could just do, like, a bit of applause? In 6 months' time, you're going to be thinking, thank God, at last someone's putting the boot into Zongles' bloody things. All right, okay. So we'll just do that bit again, okay? And what about this Zongles craze? You feel the same way too, do you? I mean, what is the point? I mean, what are they, basically? What are they, zongles, eh? A revolving triangle glued to the back of your neck. You look like Carla Dream singing the basting song, eh? Have you seen that video? I've got to go on that. See you later. Cheer up.
Passengers boarding flight 6178 to London Heathrow, please proceed through customs. Thank you.
Anything to declare, sir?
No.
Could I see your passport, please, sir? Did you enjoy your stay in Morocco, my friend?
Yes, thank you. Great.
You're sweating. Too hot for you in this country, huh?
Yes, hot.
Well, everything seems to be in order. Can you just open your suitcase, please, sir?
Will this take long?
That depends, my friend. Let me see. No. Everything seems to be all right.
I can go then.
Of course, my friend. Wait a minute. This suitcase, it seems very shallow. I think perhaps it has a false bottom. My friend, are you all right?
Yes.
I was right. What is this?
What?
This. What is this in a silver foil?
It's a drum machine.
You left it on?
Yes, I think that's what that booming noise was.
I see. I thought perhaps it was your heart.
No, it was the drum machine.
Yes. Wait a minute.
What?
What is this under the drum machine?
Where?
Here. Taped to the bottom of the case.
Oh, it's another drum machine.
You seem to have rather a lot of drum machines, my friend.
Yes, I'm a drum machine salesman.
You haven't got any drugs, have you?
No, but I've got another drum machine.
Yes, this one. Very well, my friend. On you go.
Thank you.
Next, please, sir. Anything to declare?
No.
You seem very hot and nervous. What was the purpose of your visit to Morocco?
I was I was attending the drum machine convention.
He's with me.
I see. Hands up all those who are with the drum machine convention. Yes, it's going to be a long and boring day.
Hi. Tonight on Profile, the story of Sir Alexander Flair, artist, designer and inventor of the flared trouser. A style which was to dominate the British trouser scene for 12 years and still dominates the wardrobe of Roger Moore and most Italian waiters. But how did the style come about? Mo Zekiel remembers.
There was a lot of anger going down at that particular at that time. But I think the angriest was Alexander. He thought he could express the ethos of the anger of the generation, all the cats and that, by designing a really far out pair of kegs.
But the breakthrough wasn't easy. His first attempts at angry trousers were catastrophic. His disastrous prototype was the V-knee, where the V of the crotch extended past the knee and dangled freely around the ankle. A fashion which was never popular because it took more than 45 seconds to undo the zipper. Next came Cheekies, shapeless baggy trousers with a plunging waistline that exposed the top half of the buttocks. A style which only ever caught on building sites. But then it happened. So-called. His flatmate at the time was Jethro Loon,
I remember, I was in my room putting up my Che Guevara poster and wondering, you know, who he was. And, did he have a single out, you know, and Alexander come in wearing these trousers. Yeah, unreal. 36-inch flares. He'd been out on the street with them on, and there were tears in his eyes. He had big wheels all over his calves. He was the first victim of flare backlash.
Yeah. And so the flared trouser came into being. The success was instantaneous and phenomenal. People everywhere were buying flared jeans and sitting in the bath to shrink them for a tight fit. A fit so tight that even today, some people can't get them off. Dolly Parton and the Mandrill sisters are all victims. But for flair, the plaudits and the money poured in. Then in 1968, at the height of his success, tragedy struck. Mo Zekiel, as usual, was there.
It was totally ungroovy, Dad. He was trying his latest design. Fabs, he called them. They was mind-blowing. 140-foot flares. With a fiberglass frame. And guy ropes. Because, like, when you wore these trousers, you had to have, like, two blokes with you hanging onto the ropes with their feet digging into your platforms, leaning into the wind as you turned the corner. There was a navigating problem. And they got off to discuss it. And the wind took him.
Flair's 140 feet trousers were found in Barbados. No one was aboard. To this day, Sir Alexander Flair is missing, presumed dead. He was knighted posthumously, but as a protest against the war in Vietnam, posthumously, he took it back. Ta-da.
And now, part two of Linda, the story of an elephant.
Over the weeks and months that followed, Linda grew steadily. It was hard to believe this was the same baby elephant Carol used to suckle from a bottle. Linda could no longer live with it in the house. That was apparent. So, one Tuesday, I shot her.
Now the continuing saga of two students in their first year at university. Precious.
Well,
So, what are you going to have?
Chow chow, I'm just thinking.
Have you had Indian food before?
Oh, sure, yeah, loads of times. I think I'll have some pompadoms.
Pampadoms.
Yeah, pampadoms. With that, what's that, ready brownie sort of sticky stuff?
The wallpaper.
No, chutney, that's it. And a prawn cocktail. And, now let's see. Oh, there's so much choice. I don't know what kind of omelette to have.
Don't you like Indian food?
Oh, yeah. I think it's fine. I just don't like curries. I mean, I like the pompadoms.
Pampadoms.
Yeah. No, I like Indian omelettes. It's just the curries. Frankly, I just don't think they make them as nice as Vesta. You know, the real authentic ones. Do you know where the toilet is?
Yeah, it's down the very steep steps, mm-hmm. along the very thin corridor, through a funny box room where they've got lots of bits of cardboard, and in through the white door marked wet paint.
Oh, have you been here before?
No, but it's some sort of regulation with Indian restaurants. The toilet's not allowed to be in the same premises, and they have to paint the door every fortnight or something like that. I don't understand.
I'll just wait till after we've ordered then.
Is it your stomach? Still got some gut rot, eh?
Yeah, I think it's the exams, you know, the The pressure got to me.
Yeah, it certainly did in philosophy.
You're not kidding. I could have walked that exam if I hadn't had that spasm.
Terry was saying, you just wrote, I am a fish, 400 times. Got up, did a jitterbug round the room and keeled over.
Yes, I think I was a bit keyed up.
It surprised me because you seemed to really have it together. Hmm. You had that big revision timetable, didn't you, with all the different colors for each subject, and study periods and rest periods and everything. You seem to have the whole of the last 4 weeks pretty well mapped out.
Yeah, that timetable took me 3 weeks to make, and I had to cram all my revision into the last 4 days. The only subject I did any good in was industrial management.
Which of the essays did you do?
Oh, all 25. Hmm. But some of them are only about 6 lines long. I don't know how they expect you to do 25 proper essays in an hour and a half anyway. I mean, it's only like 3 minutes an essay.
Oh, right. I thought you were only supposed to do 3.
I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it.
3 essays and the compulsory question, yeah. Which is worth 75%.
What compulsory question?
The one over the page. Waiter, can I have a glass of water, please, for the gentleman who's jitterbugging over here? Cheers.
Now, welcome back. Guest host, clairvoyant, comic, Freddy Fortune.
Thank you. Watch the television, do you? I love television, I do. What about that one? Have you seen it? Where's your teapot? Where's your teapot, Mr. Borodin? It should be called Any Old Lino. And what about that Flaming Cop series? Bring me the head of Paul Arkides. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Whacka, 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 whacka. Right? Whacka, 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 whacka. What are those things supposed to be? I mean, what? What are they? No, but my favourite advert of the moment is that one. It's long. It's strong. It's Craggley's Real Ale. What is Princess Margaret doing? I mean, it's a good impression. It's a good impression. John McEnroe. No, it's a bit sick. Anyway, on with the show. See you later. And now, part 2 of Ella, the story of a lioness.
Over the weeks and months that followed, Ella grew more and more restless. So, what Tuesday? We loaded up the Land Rover, Ella sitting in her favorite place, and we drove to a clearing in the jungle. We said our goodbyes and set Ella free. We wondered whether this 14-month-old lioness, who'd been reared by humans since her mother died, would be able to fend for herself in the jungle. But one look at Ella dispelled all our doubts. She strutted around, a proud and noble creature of the jungle. Once again, Ella was a huntress, a predator. And as such, fair game for my rifle. So I shot her.
Saturday Serials present the further reasonably exciting adventures of Captain Invisible and his faithful sidekick, the See-Through Kid. Episode 2, Coat Hangers from Outer Space. We join Captain Invisible and the Kid planning their next unbelievable move in their secret lair.
It's no good. This is the worst fix I've ever been in. If only the See-Through Kid were here.
I am here, Captain.
Where?
Here.
Oh, great.
How was your holiday, see-through?
I haven't been on holiday, Captain Invisible. I just had laryngitis for a week. Hey, it's the invisible phone, Captain.
Right. Aren't you going to answer it?
Oh, I thought you'd gone to answer it.
No, I'm standing right here.
Captain.
What now, see-through?
Where is it?
It's right over there.
Yep, 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 yep.
Who was it, kid?
I don't know. The phone stopped ringing before I could find it.
So why were you going yep, 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 yep?
I was just practicing my dog impression.
You idiot. Hey, we better check out the commissioner just in case. Quick, kid, the invisible car.
Right. Hey, Cap, it was left at those lights.
Yeah, I know.
Better take the next left.
Right, the next left.
No, I meant that left there.
That's what I thought you meant.
So why didn't you take it?
Because I'm not driving.
What? Where are you?
Sitting in the back seat. Where are you?
Well, I'm in the back seat. And somebody's sitting on my knee.
Look out! Oh, my God! Kid? Kid? Are you okay?
No, Captain, I'm hurt bad. I don't think I'm gonna make it.
Hold on, kid. Kid? Kid? Oh, no. See-through kid's dead. This is the saddest, most poignant moment of my entire life.
Oh, Captain, you're shooting on my face.
Kid, you're alive.
Not for much longer, Captain. I'm going first.
Don't worry, kid. I'll give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Just hold on.
Captain. Captain.
Don't try and talk, kid.
No, but, Captain...
Don't talk, kid, but I'm giving you mouth-to-mouth.
Yeah, but, Captain, I think there's something we should discuss.
Oh, no, kid. Something terrible's happened. Oh, no. In the accident, you seem to have lost all your teeth. Oh, no, this is awful. My poor buddy. Somehow your nose has been turned inside out.
And so another tedious adventure reaches its boring conclusion. As we join the captain and the kid in the city hospital.
Well, Cap, I don't know how, but it looks like I'm going to pull through.
Well, kid, I think it's down to good old-fashioned goodness. The goodness inside you, which will always protect you because you've taken the invisible oath.
That's right, Cap. The invisible oath. We, who are invisible, solemnly swear never
to use our power to crawl around floors and look up ladies' dresses.
And now, for a final time, tonight's guest host, Freddie Fortune.
Right, thank you. Thank you. You've been a lovely audience. And remember, if you're driving home, don't go with him over there.
Welcome to Final Report. In fact, it's quite extraordinary. We're just being handed a piece of paper, which should in fact be the Liverpool Report, which we've been waiting for the last half hour. And it's quite an extraordinary result. What was in front of me? Son of Cliché, starred Steve Cram, Sebastian Coe, Chris Berry, Nick Maloney, and Nick Wilson. Remarkable. The show was written by Henry Cooper, Greg Bruno, Rob Grant, and Doug Naylor. Music was by Big Daddy and Peter Brewis, and the show was extraordinarily enough produced by Alan Dixon. And we have it Charlton Athletic. That is Charlton Athletic. And I think we can now, yes, in fact, we can go to the signature tune again. No, in fact, we're staying with me.
And now, part two of Washo, the story of a chimpanzee.
Over the weeks and months that followed, Washo's progress grew steadily, and the idea of teaching a chimpanzee sign language grew more and more feasible. Washo seemed especially attached to Jim, and would play with him for hours, making the signs for ball, throw, play, and please don't shoot me. But up until this point, Washo had shown no facility for abstract thought. Then, one Tuesday, Jim raced into the kitchen, brandishing a tape recorder. "Washo has spoken," he gasped. So, we sat down, and for the first time, we heard Washo speak. Here is a tape recording of the monkey's first words.
All right, that is me impersonating a monkey.